Hello, this is Las Vegas Weekly's Radio Mag on KUNV. I'm Ken Miller, Associate Editor at Las Vegas Weekly, and on tonight's show, we're introducing you to two women helping to shape Las Vegas. This week is our Badass Women issue, and it's a look at locals who are doing amazing things on the field, on stage, in the kitchen, and right here at UNLV. Our first guest tonight is Carla Pellegrino, and how do I put this? She's leading the vanguard for female celebrity chefs here in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Carla has only been here a few years, and she already has two successful restaurants established here in Las Vegas, one at Baccio at Tropicana, and the other Britallion, which is in Henderson near Anthem. I told her that, you know, that's near where I live, and so far I can't get a table. So.
You want me to? No, you can get a table. You do, trust me.
And I really appreciate you joining us tonight. I'm very excited for our readers to, our listeners to hear what you have to say.
I'm glad to be here.
And promo the issue. Well, I guess the first question would be, you know, I want to know a little bit about your family history. Like, how did you get started in the restaurant business, and how did you come, you know, to Las Vegas as a result of that?
I started to cook when I was really young. I was about 10 years old, and my mother had a catering, and we were still in Brazil. And because we were very poor, the whole catering staff was only her. So every time she had a party, a gig, I had to skip school. So I've been cooking all my life. When I came to New York in 1997, in the beginning, yes, I think it was in January, I met Frank. And that was
Frank
Pellegrino, from Rails. And that was, and I actually became my family at that point. And that's where, you know, he tried my food, and he really thought that I should have a restaurant. I already thought that too, but, you know, everybody kept saying that was too much work for a woman. So I just kept, you know, postponing. And that's where I started. And I did, year 2000, I opened Baldoria. The theater district in New York City, 49th mm-hmm. Street, and I had that for 10 years, and so that's where everything started. I went to school, of course, because I was cooking for a long time, but I had no idea how to put it out, 300 dinners at the same time. It sounds to me something that wouldn't be impossible to do it. So I went to the French Culinary Institute, you know, in New York City, and I graduated with honors. I was glad, it was good. I was lucky, and I'm here now.
Congratulations. So when did the move to Las Vegas come about, and how did that come about?
We had an offer to open Rails, actually. You know, we were approached for one of the executives at the Caesar's Palace on my restaurant in Baldoria, but they actually really wanted the brand, and the brand, of course, it was Rails. So they offered, you know, they wanted to talk to my ex-father-in-law, Frank Pellegrino as well, you know, to bring Rails here. And before, actually, you know, they decided to sit down with Caesars, you know, there was something between the family, was natural. I was kind of a natural choice, you know, once my restaurant used to seat 220 people once. And Rails in New York, it's small. It seats only 45 people. So I was kind of used to it, you know, to deal with the big crowds. And we sit, you know, Rails still sitting 338 people at once.
Quite a difference.
Yes. Yes.
So when you came to Las Vegas, had you been here before? And what was your what were your reactions to the city? Like, what was your
Yeah, we started to talk about it. It took us 1 year and a half. We started to talk about that at the middle of 2005, and we just moved to Vegas in 2006, September. So it was about 1 year negotiation, in which we'll be coming here every couple of months or so. The thing that I thought, of course, I was eating in lots of restaurants, and then at the end in lots of Italian restaurants to see, you know, if there was a marketing for my type of cuisine, because it's a comfort mm-hmm. Italian food. It is. I make sure that I use the best ingredients, but I do not like stock food. I do not like fancy food, which I can't do very well because that's what's my background, you know, as a school, you know, so to speak. But I do like, you know, I think the Italian food should be something that you can have every day. So you don't want something that actually is going to make you scared. You want something comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I noticed. Actually, Vegas would be actually the best place to be, because New York, you can't actually find places like that. Here not. You have like very fancy food. Or very, you know, low-key food, a little too low-key, you know. So I am right in the middle, so I think it's fine. I think that's why, and it was so successful. That's why I am so successful here, because it is not something you find everywhere.
Now, is that the kind of food that you also ended up serving at the two restaurants that you then opened here?
Yes, of course I have to respect, you know, the family's food, because it was there, you know, for more than 100 years. And I revisit, you know, a few signature dishes, and the family was wonderful. They all was great to me, and they actually gave me the freedom to add, because Rails in New York City does not have a menu, really, so to speak. You sit down and then you eat, you know, whatever, you know, the chef, wonderful chef actually, right, cooks, and are you happy with that? Because it's a small place, that's the way it goes. We could not do that with 300 people sitting down at the same time, so we have to have a menu. And when you have to have a menu, and we talk about Italian food, it must to be, you know, a big menu. You need to have pasta, you need to have risotto, you need to have meat, you know, in the seafood, and, you know, so all that. And so I revisit few signature dishes from Rails, which, you know, it's not much. The menu here was very big. I had like 39 items. And I just, you know, and I had the freedom. They actually gave me the freedom to just do my food, which my food tends more for Northern Italian. You know, I grew up in Liguria, which is, you know, next to France. So that's what we call white food. We use less marinara sauce and less peppers. You know,
right,
it's a lot about risottos and the slow cooking, and osobuco, and short ribs, and things like that. And
sounds wonderful.
Yeah, mushrooms and things like that. But of course, I need to keep, you know, my clientele happy, and I will always have, you know, veal parm and the meatballs and a good marinara sauce, because it is the interpretation of Italian food that Americans have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the food is one aspect of the business. Obviously, you know what you're doing, and you've proven that. But I mean, what other aspects of your personality have made you successful in this business? What do you feel is the secret to, you know, the success that you've had? Obviously, the food, but what else?
I don't think that is a secret. I think I was lucky. I don't know. Maybe I'm likable. I am always caring about everything. I do not stay in the kitchen, even because I can't stay still for a long time. Are you going to see? I'm just going to get up and walk. So, no, I am always coming out. I always check on my tables. I look for feedback. I try to do what the guest wants. I really care about them. And I think that, you know, they feel that. You know, I wanted to know if the wine is okay. I check on the service. I'm always around. You know, it seems like I touch everything. I think I really do, because I don't stop. And that's me. That's my personality. And hopefully, I think it's that. The people just feels that, you know, that caring, and it gives back to me.
You listen to what the customers want, and you
always
respond.
Always. You know, even when sometime, and that wasn't something that I had always when I started in the restaurant business in New York. I used to actually get mad when somebody asks for something that's not really Italian, because that is something, you know, people here do that. They just kind of give you a recipe, you know, I want that shrimp with Alfredo sauce, which, you know, shrimp should not be in the cream. And I used to get mad. But you know what? Right now, I learn how to love my guests, and I know I depend on that. And I'm very proud. When somebody cross my doors, I should be only thankful, because they have thousands of other places to choose from. And if they choose me, I'll make sure they get what they want. And if somebody asks me for, I don't know, a steak well done, and that's what I just make sure that they will have the best well done steak they never had in their life. That's the way I do.
Absolutely. Well, it occurs to me that you have one restaurant that is primarily for locals, and another one that caters to mostly tourists, and that you do have to be very flexible, because with all those tourists coming in, you never know what the taste is going to be and what they're going to want to eat.
You're bad.
So, Carla, what has it been like establishing yourself in a city that has predominantly been, you know, male celebrity chefs? I mean, that's been kind of the history of this town.
Yes.
How has that been for you?
Well, you know, I kind of feel like that, you know, everywhere I go, this is something, those are numbers that it is around the world right now. You know, we only count 29% of the chefs, you know, 71% is still male. So it is a male world. And but here in Vegas, it's pretty amazing. I can't think of another executive chef, female. around
I really
here.
Can't either at the moment.
So I feel good. I feel like I am the queen. If I just, yeah.
Has it been a challenge? Has it been a struggle, or has it been relatively?
I don't think so. You know, not here. I had a little bit. You know, at the beginning of my career in New York City, but that was, you know, and it became a pass. You know, fast, because I think you just need to keep doing what you have to do it, and determination, hard work. People will see that, and they win that opportunity, respect to you. I was very well received. You know, I came with Rayos, I came with a big brand, and of course, was easier. That opened up lots of doors here, and I never had the problem here. I was very spoiled. Vegas has been spoiling me for a long time.
Well, that, and of course, that was another thing I wanted to talk to you about. How do you feel about Las Vegas now that you're here, you're established? Do you think you're gonna, you know, be here for the, you know, foreseeable future?
I would think so. I don't think about moving. I do think about open up in LA. I do like, that's kind of like, I feel like I'm betraying Vegas when I talk about LA. I kind of start to fall in love with California right now.
I mean, a lot of celebrity chefs do branch out. So
yeah,
that's,
I do want to have something, you know, at Sunset Plaza or something like that, you know, maybe Bacio, but I will not move though. You know, Vegas is like, you know, that's the first one. I like to live here. I like the feeling of a small town feeling. I do like that when you step in the strip, you think that you are, I don't know, in Paris. You could be anywhere. You could be in New York. So you can dress down. We can, you know, you can dress up. You can do whatever you want. And then you still have 24 hours. Everything is open here. If I want to go crazy in the middle of the night, I can do that. I can go run. And it's fairly secure. I never had a problem, you know, with it. I just love Vegas. I think I will stay here. That's what I want to.
Oh, and just a little talk about family, because I know that that's a big part of who you are. You also have family working for you at your restaurants, correct?
Yes, I moved my sister Alessandra from New York. She used to be my chef de cuisine. A Baldoria, mm-hmm. in New York, and she's my chef here, Italian, and her husband Walter, it's my brother-in-law, and he's taking care of the room, and it's nothing more gracious than see an Italian guy taking care of a room. He can do everything, and he does everything dressed up. He's always in his suit. You know, he's in the middle of nowhere. He's in Henderson, but he wears a new suit every single day, and he got that, you know, very heavy, not more than my heavy accent, but because he comes from Rome. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very charming. I think it adds to the restaurant. I like that.
So what restaurant would customers be more likely to see you at if they went these days? Would it be Bacio or
Bertaglia? Right now, Bacio, of course, because I just opened Bacio. You know, Bertaglia, it's open since March. Bacio just opened in May. So we're still making sure that everything is consistent. I do, you know, sometimes just leave a little bit earlier, and I close Bertaglia. Sunday, I'm off. I am a Bertaglia. So that's the way it goes.
And you do like to get out and meet your customers, and you like to be the face of the restaurant.
Always. I think every place should have a face. It makes the whole difference.
Okay. One more question, because I loved your answer to this. I want to have the readers or the listeners hear this again. About your background, all the different nationalities that combined in, you know, to make you who you are. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm a mess. I'm a bastard. I was born in Rio. My mother was Italian. My father was Portuguese. My great-grandmother was French. And if I am not mistaken, I think I have some African-Brazilian in the background that people say, I don't know, supposed to be my great-grandfather, because it is just like too many. And I think that's what calls my personality. I have a lot of a hot blood in my vein. I don't know where it comes from, but it's a lot.
You basically can't help being passionate. It's not within your control.
I always move my hands, always be loud. That's me. I can't help it.
Well, Carla, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much for joining us. And
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. And this issue, the Badass Women issue, featuring, among others, Carla Pellegrino, will be on stands on Thursday. And thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Las Vegas Weekly Radio Mag. My name is April Corbin. I'm the web content editor. And I am here with a different Carla, Carla Washington, who I will describe as maybe the most driven and energetic UNLV student that the school has ever had. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Like Ken said in the earlier edition, this is our Badass Women issue, where we are talking to women who you should look up to and are inspirational and who are powerful. And let me tell our listeners what's on your resume right now. Just this is the list of things we have. You were a hotel college senator in student government. You were the president of UNLV's student chapter of the National Society of Minorities in Hospitality.
Woo whoop!
You were a coordinator for Peers Advocating Anti-Violence Through Education, which is run through the Women's Center at UNLV. You are a presidential student ambassador, and you have a 3.8 GPA, mm-hmm. and you are a single mother.
I am.
That is a lot. How did you get to this point? Because your story is amazing.
Actually, it wasn't a good event that happened for me to get to mm-hmm. this spot that I'm in. I was a truck driver and found out that I was pregnant, and I became disabled and I had to go on welfare. My choices were a minimum wage paying job or to go to school. And as they were saying the word school, I was just cringing because I was a high school dropout. I had a 1.46 GPA. So I didn't really think I was going to be good at school again. And I actually, looking at my daughter, and knew she needed something better. So I went back to school, wasted my first semester being Carla, which is doing things on her own. And then I hooked up with counselors. And college has been the best decision I've ever made. When people say that the best years in life are college, they are not lying. It doesn't matter if you do it 20 years later, 2 years later. While you are in college, I mean, I can't tell you how much fun I've had. I mean, fun kind of fun, you know, nothing crazy, but it's just been amazing. I encourage anyone to go to school, preferably UNLV, because we are the number one school to go to.
That's great. And you are a success story at UNLV simply because you've used so much of the resources in terms of the counselors, the deans. You work through the preschool, or the preschool helps you with your daughter. Tell me about the resources you use at UNLV.
I always tell people that my success rate for school is the analogy that I have for my love for football. I have Carla's team. I have 11 players that are amazing. I use financial aid. I use the advising center of the hotel college. I use Bobby Barnes. She's the counselor in the hotel college. I use my professors. I use the Office of Civic Engagement and Diversity, the library, the math lab. I don't think there is not a door that I haven't walked through because I'm nosy like that, just to say, hey, what's up? What are you doing in there? And they actually talk to me. This is what we do in here. And the students on campus, I am their biggest fan. They help me with almost anything and everything that I need. There's not a student that I don't, communicate with that I can say, I need a little help here, I need to do this. And they are more than willing to help me, even if that means jumping in the cart, going to pick Kennedy up in preschool and bringing her back. There's not a meeting that I have had that she has not been in. There is not anyone that knows me. They know my daughter. So, I mean, I can't tell you. It's been an awesome road.
And that's such a departure from what people think about UNLV, where they think, oh, that is a commuter school. Nobody cares about each other.
I almost live here. I mean, I think if they allow children to live here, I probably would have lived here. It has been from the very first day I stepped on this campus, and I received a manila envelope from Sherry Terrio, which gave me a grant to actually to help me with my tuition here. Up until today, every day has been great. I just got off of the most amazing internship program with MGM. I can't even tell you how my summer has been. I have been a part of helping to plan the Women of Color Conference with Deborah Nelson. Oh my God. I mean, the fact that she even allowed me in the office and work with her.
She's with MGM, right?
She's with MGM. She's the vice president of diversity. I mean, a person like me, I don't get these opportunities. I mean, I'm sitting there having breakfast on the terrace of the Monte Carlo and the president, Anton, comes out and speaks to us. That stuff don't happen. But, you know, these are things that UNLV has allowed, you know, for us to be a part of. I mean, our living laboratory for the hotel college is right there on the strip. Our professors, our dean, they do their very best to make sure that we get that. And all that does is help me to be a better person. By the time I leave UNLV, I'm going to have networking up. I'll have a portfolio of people that I've networked with. I will have all of the education that every one of those professors has that they have given me. My daughter, she's gone to the preschool and she graduated there successfully. That preschool's amazing. I mean, hands down amazing, the things that they've done. I have watched a football game in the president's box, you know.
Nice. Did we win?
We probably have won a couple of those times, but that's how many times I've been up. I've been up there quite a few times up there. And see, the football coach, he needs to talk to me because I have a success rate. My 11 players that I have on Carla's team, I win. So he should probably talk to me. I have the scholarships that are offered through the hotel college. And even though we are in a situation with the budget, our hotel college we've just stuck together to try and do the best that we can do, you know, and I do believe that their number one goal is to make sure that we keep our students successful. To make sure, I mean, it's not every day that you can be in class and all of a sudden, you know, you have the hiring coordinator from the Marriott walk in, and then you can also go and have lunch with her at Metro Pizza because Carl has set it up. How does that happen? I mean, every day, I don't know what's going to happen here because they'll be like, Carla, so-and-so's happening. You know, this is happening. I mean, we've done a lot in the hotel college. And then being involved with the Office of Civic Engagement and Diversity, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we have an event and, you know, we've got, you know, these folklorico dancers, they're coming in through and, you know, my daughter's, you know, she's out there dancing with them. You know, I mean, I'm having a good time. You should spend a day with me sometime. You'd have fun.
I don't know that I could keep up with you, Carla. You know, I've spent just in the 10 minutes before we got onto the radio, you were networking with our former guest, Carlo Pellegrino, executive chef. You're asking our producer what his major is and what you really, I don't know that I've met a person that is more passionate about education. And
it's changed my life. It has literally changed my life. And I'm not going to say that I didn't know anything prior to me being 36 years old, but my eyes, they're so open right now. And I learn every day. I've learned more from the students here as well. They have no idea how smart they are. Sometimes they have no idea. They're our future. They really are. And I'm amazed and honored to be in this arena. I can't even tell you. I had an intern, our manager, well, I guess you would call her the manager of the intern program with MGM. She has no idea how amazing that she is. Every day I would be like on Tuesday, so I wonder where we're going, what we're doing, because it was just so fabulous. I'm looking at our advisor that we have for NSMH, Patty Schock, here on campus. That lady has so much experience, and the fact that I will ask her a question, will you be our advisor? And she says yes. Amazing. She didn't have to say yes. She's got so many things that she could be doing.
Yeah.
You know, once again, Deborah Nelson, the VP over at of diversity, corporate diversity at MGM, I'm asking to do a portion of, you know, Women of Color Conference. Can I, you know, include Facebook? She could have said no, you know. Yes. Just giving me that opportunity and watching her do her thing has been just like amazing. I get to sit back and watch things happen around me. I would never have been invited to these opportunities had I not have come and get education.
And I think the main thing that I love about your story is that, you know, we selected you in the Weekly as a badass woman, but you were more than that because you were a product of other badass women who help people get scholarships, who, you know, who say yes to those people and who help people like that.
Yes.
And one thing in your life that you want to do is to continue on that path of helping people. And I know one of your goals one day is to start your own nonprofit, right?
Yes, Carla's Kids. Carla with a K, of course. It's something that I have thought about for a long time. But actually, with the women that are in my life, it's like they keep putting these seeds down and planting them, and I'm watching it to grow, and it will develop. It's going to be a nonprofit organization that's going to, first of all, it's going to teach young ladies self-love. That's going to be, I mean, to me, you cannot do anything without loving yourself first. You know, and I want to teach you that you don't need someone to love you. You have to love you first. And once you love yourself, there are things that you won't accept in your life that you don't need. And part of the other program is to teach them just regular social skills, you know, maybe going out to eat. How do you eat when you're in a restaurant? How do you, you know, act when you are in a public setting? And it will also have an educational component to it. We will have tutoring. Hopefully I'll still have my relationship with all the students around me, and they'll come in and help with whatever is lacking in this particular young lady's life. I am going to be calling on my professional ladies to come in and mentor these young girls, be their mentor, share their life story, share their personal life, share, you know, their professional life with them. And at the end of the training period, or at the end of the period, there will be scholarships, so to speak, or grants for them. And I will be looking out for all of my friends out here that will take a part in donating to this. And I will also share the path on how to go through, you know, the education process. Some of our students, you expect them to go to school. You know, you could be a family member or an aunt or uncle. Well, what are you going to do when you graduate? You know, you're going to school. They require this of you, but no one has actually sat down and said, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to fill out a FAFSA? Do you know that you should take general education courses? Do you know what that means, first of all? Because who knows? One day you wake up and you want to be an underwater basket weaver. So you take all these classes to do that. And then tomorrow you wake up and you say, you know, I think I want to be a teacher. All those classes you've taken don't help you to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you taking your general education classes, you know. And so that'll be, you know, a component in it as well. But I think every child in this world, they are Carla's kids, because I look at all of them as me.
All right. Awesome. Well, that sounds great. And I know, given just how much you've done in such a short period of time in your last few years of your life, that you're going to go very far. Thank you so much for joining us, Carla.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And UNLV students, watch out. If you ever run into Carla on campus, she will ask you what your major is. Make sure you're on a path to graduation.
Yes. And education is the way.
Yes. And we would expect nothing else. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Las Vegas Weekly Radio Mag Show. Be sure to pick up the print edition, which is out on newsstands now, or visit lasvegasweekly.com to find out about Carla, and the rest of our women who are not named Carla. And thanks again to our producer, Stephen Zeller. And catch us again next Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on KUNV for our radio show. Thank you.